You're welcome to Story in a Song. My special guest this afternoon is Billy Maguire from Kappa near Askeaton. Billy, you're very welcome to today's programme.
Thank you, Pat. Good afternoon.
Now, Billy is a well-known gentleman indeed. Originally from where, Billy?
Castle Troy, the university down there where Plassey is, where I lived. And that was the foundation of the university there. I was involved in all that.
That was your family home where you were born, is it? The Plassey, yeah. And you sold that, did your family?
It was the Irish Republican Brotherhood who founded the University at Limerick, and my father was very instrumental in that. So we gave Willibank that it would be part of the university. Yeah. And there was a small gratuity given to my mother for all the land, because it would have meant, as Brendan O'Regan said, that you could come back in a later date and claim that you didn't really mean to give this, you know. So that's how the university came about, which was a very, very wonderful university.
Yes,
and it was for Limerick, Clare and Tipperary. So, you know, and it's even music and everything about it. The Irish Republic, they founded it as a technological university. And you're talking about 1950 when it started first by the Irish Republican Brotherhood. And they built all those factories around there to teach young people to get work experience in factories and in technology. And I'd say it was probably one of the first technological universities in the world, never mind in a very forward-thinking in those days.
Now, Billy is very involved in Ireland, Irish history, and, of course, the Irish Republican Brotherhood and Sovereign Seal, of course, and to help as many people involved in historical societies will have heard Billy speak over many, many years. So I suppose we'll still stick to our native land, and we'll hear a very fine tune now played, and it's called Slieve na Mann, and it's by Leisha Kelly.
Yes, and she plays for us on the 21st of January every year in the Cabinet Room in the Mansion House. That's our Independence Day.
Lovely. We'll come back to that. So, Billy, and we'll shoot on with Leisha Kelly. Slieve na Mann. Leisha Kelly and Slieve na Mann. Now, Billy, your family, you have a very interesting family background, of course, and everybody in Limerick and Clare and otherwise would have always heard of the Crow Mills Bakery and all of that particular area. So you're the same family, I believe.
Oh, yes, we're a long time in Limerick. We can go back to Fermanagh and Cúchonaic Maguire. He was the last of my ancestors to own Fermanagh, Lochearn and the River Shannon to the estuary of the Atlantic. And he is buried in Genoa in Italy. He was the Flight of the Earls man.
Yeah.
Tiger Greenon is one of our chroniclers. So we're trading an awful long time in Limerick. We're there for thousands of years.
And your young days then, you grew up around Plassey.
Yes, Plassey was a wonderful place.
And then you went on to school.
I went to Glenstall and to the Benedictines.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed my school days and that. And then after school, I joined the family firm.
Were there many in Glenstall at that time? Is it
about less than 100 when I was there?
All male, was it?
Boys, yes.
Yeah. And was there any problems or difficulty? We hear a lot of all kinds of...
We all got on very well, every one of us, and everybody looked out for everybody else.
Yeah.
It was a lovely atmosphere in that. And you're every child there. And still, all those friendships still survive, you know?
Yeah.
Which is great.
And you left Glenstall then and you went to the family. What did you go down in the family business then?
I did all sorts. We have milling and bakery and... We have salt business and we have other fertilizer businesses and we had a lot of businesses and I had to do part in them all, really.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did.
I know, being a native of Tully in County Clare, we would have been quite familiar with Crow Mills Bakery and the bread, and it was extremely popular. It was one of the ones that people loved getting, the pan loaf, Crow Mills.
It was on draw plates, the old draw plate ovens.
Yeah.
They used to come out, and in those days you couldn't bake bread before 7 o'clock in the morning, so it had to come out fresh.
Yeah.
And then it was delivered all over the countryside, you know, and it was a huge, people used to wait for the Crow Mills bread.
It was very, very popular because I worked in a shop after my school period there, and it was very, I remember Crow Mills and Flyins of Tulla at the time.
They're related of ours.
Flyins or the new shop there would have been or whatever at the time, but it's all changed now to a big supermarket, of course, but
there
was big. Halpin's Tea was another big seller at that
point. Yeah.
It was huge, Halpin's Tea.
That's right.
That, and you'd still see the boxes, the yellow box about. Yeah. But that seemed to go, but that was Limerick based too, I understand.
It was very much so. I think of his name now.
That's gone as well. And of course, we had Donnelly's and Masterson's.
All the old bacon, we supply all the salt to all the bacon factories and that.
We were
the oldest salt merchants on record, if not the oldest. We traded, our bills of lading go back to the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire was all about salt, you know.
That was trading as Tinsley salt, I believe, was it?
No, we traded long before that in with the Roman Empire, you know. But when Britain then, after the Act of Union, we had to buy Tinsley's to amalgamate our business because a Catholic couldn't trade, family couldn't trade in a Protestant Britain. So that's why we bought Tinsley's, and we have had Tinsley's ever since. It was interesting, I said on the Flight of the Earls, and that was our ship that took them to down to eventually Spanish Flanders and then eventually down the road. But on the board the ship, they had salt on board that day as well, you know.
And what is the position of, are they all ceased trading now, have they, all those businesses?
Martin McGuire's is still there. We don't do a lot now. My brother died there 2 years ago. He was running that side of it. But my nephew is still running the business. We don't have a bakery anymore because bakeries became huge and they're all from, you know, one single unit now from Dublin would supply the whole country, you know.
Yeah.
It was the difference in those days.
Isn't it a pity because in Newcastle West now there was three or four bakeries 70 or 80 years ago. Now there's none. I think the only local bakery we have now is Tomb is in Drumcollar, which seemed to be going quite well.
Yeah. It is a shame, really, because a lot of the old businesses, you know, when they were very, people, customers knew everybody and, you know, you knew everybody and you knew where you were and it was a great time.
But as you've made that statement now, it is very, very true. We had an awful lot of local business. We had shoemakers, you had all kinds of businesses, harness makers, bakers, millers, whatnot, all gone. When we joined the EU at the time in early 1970s, it was a 3 or 4 that the Manchol plan, and we had various speakers opposing joining the EU at that time, of which I was one myself. And it was stated in that the small business, the small man, he'd be just wiped out. And it has taken us 40, 50 years, but it's coming to pass.
But it has been wiped out.
Small businesses, yeah.
Go to any small town now in Ireland, and it's shocking to see all the little shops closed down, you know. It's sad.
It's frightening.
That's not what our independence was about, I can tell you, you know.
No.
It's about the people are sovereign, and you know.
You can go, I was in Tralee during the week. We're doing an auction for Tralee for Kerry County Council in the 5th of December. We do machinery auctions for them. But even their own offices, there's a lot of them closed up because of the cutback in staff. But when you walk around Tralee town, nearly every couple of spaces, there's a for sale sign or to let sign in literally every town that you visit in Ireland, rural towns. It is very sad looking.
It is very sad, Pat.
And I understand from the county council or the last budget in the one just gone that any business that has closed in the past, that they would call to us or that place with an estate agent to rent it, so therefore they weren't liable for rates. They'd be exempt for rates if they had it for letting. But Billy, from the 1st of January next, people don't realise it, I think, yet, because it was one of the small prints in the budget. Any locked up shop, that closed shop, closed business premises, they will have to pay 50% of the rates from next year onwards.
Because you know, Pat, people just can't afford to pay that.
They can't afford it. They invested in property. They can't afford the mortgage. And now they got to pay the county council 50% for having the building sitting there.
It's not a very happy time.
What does it remind you of, Billy?
Of very black days, I can tell you.
It reminds me of a period before I was born, when I see all the big houses throughout the country and the roofs taken off of them because they couldn't afford the rates, so they took the roofs off the houses.
Those big houses, they were all bankrupt, all those families.
They went bankrupt, yeah.
And it's happening again.
It looks like the wheel is spinning because they'll have to take the roofs off of those.
Well, I think
they're already at it, actually, in big industrial units that they can't rent, that they are now taking the roofs off of those because then they're not liable, they're derelict buildings, they're not liable for rates then.
But it's sad that our biggest export, Pat, is our young people. That is a tragedy for Ireland. And how we've seen that before, seen it again, you know.
As we have often said in this programme and at rambling houses in different places, what did the likes of Kevin Barry, Padraig Pearson, all those people over generations die for?
It is very sad. You know, if they came back today and saw the way we're carrying on, I think they'd be very shocked at the whole situation. Yeah. And it doesn't seem to get better, Pat. It seems to be just getting worse.
It's getting worse, yeah.
And we're told to do by Europe. And the extraordinary thing is, if I'm interested in, as you know, the Irish Republican Brotherhood, and their idea, you know, was that the people were sovereign and you owned your land and your house, and that's what that meant, and you had a job and you had hospital care. All that is part of your sovereignty. And you shared the assets of the state. But all that seems to be airbrushed out now, out of our history.
Yeah, like the business again, that it was wanting to have the building and people would have invested in those for a type of pension for themselves when they got older. But now they really can't afford to hold on to them.
That's the trouble.
Because of this.
And it's all Europe telling us. And the point about Europe, because as you know, I'm very against, because as you know, my family, we bought Vaughan's Hotel in Parnell Square in 1917 for the reorganisation of the Irish Republican Brotherhood and the 32 county election of 1918 that established the sovereignty of the 32 counties and the democratically elected TDs of Dáil-Éireann, and was ratified by the will of the people on the 21st of January 1919 in the Cabinet Room and in the Round Room in the Mansion House, Dublin. And we still commemorate that. My family are doing it for 94 years. I'll be doing it 50 years myself next year.
And a good friend of mine, I sent him off up to there a few years back, Kevin Barry.
Oh, Kevin's great, man.
Yeah.
And Con Colbert. And
Con Colbert knows.
Well, I met him last Wednesday. We were up in Dublin Castle about the oral history. and we had a wonderful day. Maurice O'Keefe in Tralee, he did it, and Jimmy Deanahan was there. But I asked Jimmy to invite the Irish Republican Brotherhood, but he wouldn't do it. But I did meet him afterwards, and I said, that tricolour that you're standing under, that was put up on the GPO by the Irish Republican Brotherhood for 1916. I said, that tricolour is owned and is the property of the Irish Republican Brotherhood, as is the Sovereign Seals and Harps, which he was presenting a tape of the history, and I said, that tape. So he was there under the flag, and I said, you know, the proclamation, the 1916 proclamation, the sovereign constitution, and I said, the Easter Lily and the Shamrock, I said, they're all the property of the Irish Republican Brotherhood. There was no other state founded only by the Irish Republican Brotherhood.
So we'll come back to that in a moment, Billy, and we'll have a song now, and it is, as we mentioned, Kevin Barry, of course. Kevin Barry, we referred to as the nephew of Kevin Barry, who was hung on the 1st of November in 1920. So we'll hear that now, and then we'll be back to you shortly. If you want to take a note there now on the time of that one, that Kevin Barry's song is to be played.
What time
is it? It says 16:20. If you just take a note of it. Do you want a sheet of paper?
Sure, yeah.
16:20. Yeah.
Kevin Barry's.
Play Kevin Barry's song. And you'll take it out, this loose conversation that we're at the minute as well, right? Just before the song there, we were talking about the Irish Republican Brotherhood. That seems to be, Billy, I know you a long time, and you and your group have been making huge efforts in relation to the flag, the sovereign seal, and the harp itself. And we've had the GA removing it recently after medals. And why is that so, that you seem to be being airbrushed out at every opportunity?
It's very sad. You have to have sovereignty. And if you read the proclamation, that's the proclamation of the sovereign constitution or the foundation documents of the state. And that sovereign constitution, it was written in for 1916. And then it was written, and it was under the 32 county election of 1918 from Vaughan Sertel. But the GA was the backbone of our independence. You know, they had a club in every little town and village in Ireland. And the medal, the Sam Maguire, the Liam McCarthy, I'm related to both of those, and that medal, they're all Irish Republican Brotherhood trophies and medal. And it's the highest accolade that any player can get. And in 2008, on the 4th of September 2008, the GAA took off the sovereign seal and aura off the medal. They didn't tell anybody. A small group of people in the GAA they changed it from a national organisation to a corporate body just to make money. And so I got very upset over this, and so did the Irish Republican Brotherhood. And we wrote and asked them who gave them permission to take off the sovereign seal. It's not an All-Ireland without the sovereign seal and aura on it. It's only a GAA medal. And they sold it this year as being an All-Ireland final, and it isn't. It's only a GAA final. And we have a very good goal.
But is it not an All-Ireland final among all the counties? Well, the tip play hurling, all the counties in hurling in Ireland, is it not?
No, Pat. Without the medal, the sovereign seal and aura on the medal, it's not an All-Ireland medal. And it's not an All-Ireland final. It's only a GAA final. And that's a shame. When you think of the great match between Clare and Cork, and the Guardian newspaper said it was the finest sporting occasion of 2013. And those players, the dedication of them, and a wonderful day out for everybody, and they're being denied that All-Ireland medal. That is a scandal. But we have the Irish Republican Brotherhood. That's our medal anyway. So what we're doing is we have a very good goldsmith, and we've asked people to contribute bits of gold jewellery in that, and people have done. And he has melted those down. And at the moment, we are making two sets of medal, one for Clare and one for Dublin. And we'll present the Irish Republican Brotherhood medal to those players. I mean, that was from 1910. That was your proof for 100 years that you won that medal. And if I went down to Clare and asked them to show me the Liam McCarthy trophy, they could show me the Lee McCarthy Trophy, and then I'd say, well, now can you show me your All-Ireland medal? That's your proof for well over since 1910. They couldn't show me the All-Ireland medal because they don't have it. They only have a GA medal. And unfortunately, that GA medal has GA in the centre where they took off the Sovereign Seal in Éire, and it is in the symbol of the serpent. And I said in 2008, you know, you never desecrate our sovereignty or our sovereign seals. And they said, oh, no, it's only mythology. There's nothing will happen. Look what happened to the banks on the 4th of September 2008. Look what happened to the factories. And look what happened to the country when you desecrate the sovereignty of Ireland and the sovereign people. We are sovereign people, and that's what's important.
But sure, a lot of our government people couldn't give one...
You're quite right.
...care really much.
They don't care. They don't care about... But you see, since 1922, we only have a provisional government. A provisional government does not have the right... It's not a sovereign government. The sovereign government was the 21st of January 1919 in the Cabinet Room in the Mansion House. There isn't even a plaque up. There isn't even a plaque. We celebrate St. Patrick's Day because James Stephens founded the Irish Republican Brotherhood 155 years ago down in 16 Lombard Street. And we have to go down and clean that plaque and the sovereign seal. And those politicians go all around the world. And they're on St. Patrick's Day, all the symbols of the state, the tricolour, the harps, the sovereign seals, the shamrock, the Easter lily, the proclamation, the sovereign constitution, they're all Irish Republican Brotherhood. And the Fenian Brotherhood is the sister organisation in America, founded by John O'Mahony in Doheny's in New York. And they opened the White House for St. Patrick's Day. They lobbied to build all those factories in Shannon. That was Brendan O'Regan's brief. And to see all that work that's been done and to see it being destroyed. And those politicians couldn't care less. They go off around the world on St. Patrick's Day. Nobody ever wishes the Irish Republican Brotherhood a happy birthday. Nobody knows. We're always talking about the harp. The harp is the most important symbol on this planet Earth. The harp is the covenant between God and man with all the information and knowledge for his planet Earth and our civilization. Whereas the sovereign seal is the psaltery. The Book of Psalms is the psalter, and that's the psaltery. It's the instrument that accompanies the Psalms. It has the two images from wrong to right, evil to good. It's Anno Domini 2013, and that's what's on your passport, your title deeds. It's on the money, it's 14 strings. And the Crown of England has it up. It's not the Crown of England that is the sovereign, it is the harp. And that strings and everything else on that information is people should go into it and see it. And young people should know what it is, your measuring tape, your plumb line, your straight edge. You know, all our civilization comes from that. And we should know in this country. And until that is restored, I think we're always going to be down at heel. And we're always going to be in trouble.
What is the difference between the Fenian Brotherhood and the Irish Republican Brotherhood?
The sister organisation. The Irish Republican Brotherhood was founded by James Stephens.
The Fenian Brotherhood was forced to take it.
It's like six of one, half a dozen the other. It was founded by John O'Mahony in Doheny's in New York. But it was founded specifically to lobby America and to set up the, you know, the branches in America, which they did. And Friends of Irish Freedom, which James McGuire was chairman of at the time, he collected all that money, you know, for here. That's what it is, and setting up, you know, opening the White House for St. Patrick's Day, lobbying all the American politicians.
That has continued since when?
Opening
the White House on St. Patrick's Day.
I'm not sure the exact date they opened it on, but it's going on a long, long time, and we're one of the few countries.
One of the few small countries that get a day to yourself.
It's a wonderful organisation, but it has been betrayed because in 1919, with the setting up of the two, it was Clannagale that collected a lot of money as well as Friends of Irish Freedom to send it back here. But what happened in 1919 then, De Valera, when he went to America, he saw the great reception he got and all the money that was there. So he decided to set up Fianna Fáil. And that money was collected in America by Friends of Irish Freedom and the Clan, was for universities, was for industries like the sugar company, you know, the ESB, cement factory, and those.
But we've had a strong link going back since the time of the famine.
We have indeed.
And after it, the Fenians went over, many of them went over and collected money.
155 years, it's a long time.
Yeah.
And it's a great, it was a great link. It needs to be renewed, though, because you have to have a sovereign government. That's the whole purpose of the whole issue. And I keep on asking Americans, you know, where did you get your sovereignty from? And sovereignty is everything. And they can't tell. They mix sovereignty and royalty. Royalty is the Queen driving around in a coach and four with a crown on her head waving to her subjects.
Now we'll take another bit of harp music and from Leisha Kelly. Twenty-5 minutes, okay? You can play it afterwards. You'll have to play it now because Billy wants to take away his tape with him. Right, you can play it. Just push the next one on, yeah. Plus play. Any track you like, anyone.
That one might have been the last one on the track.
If you want to take it out and put it in again and play the first one even.
Well, the harp music is nice, Pat, isn't it?
Nice, yeah.
Something about it, isn't it?
Calming.
Lovely music. And we should know more about the harp.
I had a lady in here one day and she played, it was all harp she was playing, yeah. She was French, actually.
Well, they're very big in Britain.
They have a place there in Castle Connell, a harp.
Oh, the school.
School of harp music.
She's very good, too. She's from Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Jean something or other.
You're a bit like James Connolly. Did anyone tell you that?
Sorry?
Did anyone tell you you're a bit like James Connolly?
James Connolly?
Do you ever hear of him, even? James, you don't know who James Connolly was. Do you ever hear of Kevin Barry, no?
Kevin Barry.
Yeah. A musician uptown. Anyone under 30 years of age.
Oh, that's so funny.
Anyone under 30 nowadays, ask me about any of those guys. Never heard of them.
And his hair brushed out now. From schools. School, yeah, teachers. Yeah. Isn't that scandalous?
If you want to take it out and put it back in again like you did it. Right, we'll move on now. It's a harp music going there at 25. We'll write down 25 minutes there for harp music. Yeah, any harp tune at all, any kind of music.
Do you want to Kevin's great friend, Pat?
I want to go, Billy, we'll go back to the Fenian period first and we'll bring it back upwards, you know, move it forward in like, you know. I'll do this one here for Donovan Ross first. We were speaking there a little earlier about the Fenians and that period of our history when they did Trojan work establishing the link between America and Ireland and the support, and that continued on in which your own group, indeed the Irish Republican Brotherhood. But I recently read a number of books on the life story of O'Donovan Rossa, and at the present time when people condemn the Sinn Féin and some of the activities which have happened in Ireland over recent years, and then when we read the details of what those people went through, like, it's easy to understand where we got to. In the case of Donovan Rossa, he was in solitary confinement for 6 weeks with his hands tied behind his back, and he was made to eat off the floor. But also that in he was put into prison in 1966, so his wife was expecting a child at that time, and the baby was born after O'Donovan Rossa was put into jail. So his wife wrote a poem following. She posted a letter with a photograph of the newly born baby to Portland Prison, and it was, I'll read out what it says in this booklet. When in 1866 O'Donovan Rossa was in Portland Prison, his wife sent him a photograph of herself holding in her arms his child, whom he had never seen. The child was born a week after his conviction and sentence. The photograph was, however, returned with a note from the governor of Portland Prison saying that regulations did not permit such things to prisoners. Refused admission, baby, baby, do you feel little pain? See your picture with your mothers from the prison back again. They are cruel, cruel jailers, they are heartless, heartless men. You laugh my little flax hair, but my eyes are full of tears and my heart is sorely troubled. With all vices in my ears, with the lingering disappointment that is shadowing my years. Was it much to ask them, baby, these rough menials of the Queen? Was it much to ask to give him this poor picture, form and mien, of the wife he loved, the little son he never yet had seen? And their cruel, cruel jailers, their heartless, heartless men, to bear the last poor comfort from your father's prison pen, to shut your picture from the gates and send it home again. Written by Mrs. O'Donovan Rossa.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, there were terrible times, and all along the whole period up to the end of the Civil War, what those people suffered.
And Pat, we don't realise today what you know, our independence has cost your own people, and the suffering and the starvation, and that, you know, it really was horrible.
But it's not appreciated, and it's little remembrance even. They don't even want to remember it, you know.
That's true.
As we said about the Irish Republican Brotherhood, they're just another nuisance factor, it would seem, from a government point of view, yeah.
We hold the sovereignty, and we hold all those, you know. And you have to have a sovereign government when you... You know, we're pretending we're in Europe, and of course, Dáil Éireann has never ratified the EEC accession treaty or the EU accession treaty. And I keep on asking them, you know, Dáil Éireann has never ratified the Anglo-Irish treaty. And it's time that the truth came out and stop, you know, all this lies and deception all the time, Pat. It is really destroying our country.
Well, of course, people don't realise that you're only being told little bits and pieces of anything on an ongoing basis, regardless of what it is.
I'm afraid it's true. What about...
Now, you have a piece there on Kevin Barry, you said...
I have that piece on his schoolmate, which was... this is his... He went to school in a pony and trap, and his brother, and this, his friend, James Byrne, D3 Wing, Mountjoy Prison, fourth day on hunger strike. I love each sod of Irish earth, from Cork to Donegal, but dear Ratville of my birth, I love thee most of all. And here within my prison cell, sweet visions haunt my mind, of my dear old home, and of the scenes I roamed, with my comrades left behind. And if 'tis God's will that I should fall, before this fight is o'er, although I love thee well in life, in death, I love thee more. That was Kevin's friend in school, and they wrote that. But you know what is nice, Pat, seeing that you're talking to us? You know that what I gave you there on Eugene O'Curry?
Yep.
How he collected the music on the Iron Islands. And it is a lovely piece. I copied it out of those manuscripts which I have.
They are wonderful, valuable manuscripts that you have to look to.
Well, they have, and there's, 1,600 musical songs, the Petrie collection.
Patriot Collection of Irish Music, all leather bound. You'll be minding them, you won't be giving them on loan, I guess.
I'm afraid not this time.
No. They're fabulous, very rare. I haven't ever seen them before, actually.
But they're all recorded, and all the corrections are made in them as well, you know.
Yeah.
But that's interesting of how they collected the music, and Eugene wrote it down. He was the Irish scholar.
That was around 1860, I think, was it, that period around there, yeah.
His mother,
yeah,
of course, was Madigan from West Limerick, you know.
And he was...
And Carrigaholt then is where, that's Carrigaholt.
O'Curry was Carrigaholt, wasn't
it? No, Donaha is where, and that's where the Irish school is in Carrigaholt.
Yeah,
that's actually,
yeah,
a photograph of it,
yeah,
which is interesting. But he was a wonderful scholar, you know.
Yeah, it says, anyway, just read the beginning because it's too long to read it all.
Let's get the bit of going to the Iron Islands. If you go down a bit, that the, you know, the, if you go down halfway, I'd say.
Yes, and this description is typical of the method by which the airs were obtained in this instance in the Aran Islands, I suppose. One volume of this collection, comprising, however, only about a tenth part of it, saw the light in 1857. A supplement contains 36 airs, some of which Dr. Stokes tells us were sent to Petrie by personal friends such as Thomas Davis, the patriot William Ellingham, the poet Frederick Burton, the painter, and Patrick MacDowell, the sculptor, whilst physicians, students, parish priests, Irish scholars and college librarians all aided in the good work. But most of Petrie's airs have been noted by himself, from the singing of the people, the chanting of some poor ballad singer, and the song of the immigrant of peasant girls while milking their cows or performing their daily round of household duty, from the playing of wandering musicians or from the whistling of farmers and ploughmen. That's another thing, Billy. You'll hardly ever hear anybody whistling anymore, do you? When they'd be out in the garden or fixing a ditch or something, they'd be whistling and singing. It's a bit, if I may say, a bit like after the famine, we've read that there wasn't music or singing or dancing for literally 10 years after, so hence we got the great silence. This description is typical of the method by which the airs were obtained in the instance of the islands of Arden. Inquiries having been made as to the names of persons who had music, that is, who were known for possessing or singing some of the old airs, an appointment was made with one or two of them to meet members of the party at some cottage in the village of Killorn, which was their headquarters. To this cottage, when evening fell, Petrie, with his manuscript, music book and violin, always accompanied by his friend Professor Eugene O'Curry, used to proceed. Nothing could exceed the strange, picturesque, the scenes which night after night were thus presented. On approaching the house, all was lighted up by a blazing turf fire. It was seen to be surrounded by the islanders, while its interiors were crowded with figures, the rich colours of whose dresses, highlighted by the firelight, showed what a strange vividness and variety, while their filed countenances were all animated with curiosity and pleasure. It would have required a Rembrandt to paint the scene. The minstrel, sometimes an old woman, sometimes a beautiful girl or a young man, was seated in a low stool in the chimney corner, while chairs for Petrie and O'Curry were placed opposite. The rest of the crowded audience remained standing. The song having been given, O'Curry wrote down the Irish words when Petrie's work began. The singer recommenced stopping at every two or three bars of the melody to permit the writer of the notes, the writing of the notes, and often repeating the passage until it was correctly taken down, and then going on with the melody exactly from the point where the singing was interrupted. The entire air being at last obtained, the singer a second time was called to give the song continuously, and when all corrections were made, the violin, the instrument of great sweetness and power, was produced. So that's the method that they collected, and the famous Irish collection indeed of Petrie and O'Curry, yes, the music.
It's nice to see it there and how they did it, you know, so yeah, many years ago.
If they called nowadays, they'd tell them we're watching Home and Away or something on television, call back later when...
Or worse.
Or worse, is right, yeah, yeah. And Kevin Barry there, of course, Kevin Barry, as we said, died at the age of 18, and there's quite a lot of songs and poems and things written, and there's another one here in front of myself. The gallows grim, a group of people kneeling, the prison grey against the sullen sky, to Our Lady of the Sorrows there pleading, as a youth of tender year walks out to die. See, here he comes with footsteps slow and steady, with upward gaze and lips that move in prayer. To sacrifice his young life he is ready. God comfort his poor weeping mother there. These memories of past seem left behind us, but sorrow yet shall be our destiny. The little wayside crosses still remind us how brave men died to set our country free. Such were my thoughts as shades of night surround me, living again the past as sad tears flow, saying a fervent prayer ere morning found me for the lad who died for Ireland long ago. Yes, indeed, and as we said, what did they really die for? You know, it is very sad.
Betrayal patterns. Yeah. We're betrayed all the time. We have to really stop and stop telling lies to each other, and stop, you know, pretending about all this money that we're... We didn't. Dáileann has never borrowed any money. And putting a sovereign debt down on our people, Pat, that is a scandal, and that's going to last for the next two generations.
Well, as I say, it won't be paid for many generations to come.
It can't be paid for, because we never borrowed it anyway. The sovereign debt is the responsibility of the Crown of England, the British government and the British taxpayer. It had nothing to do with us. And I'm always asking banks to show me your licence. I go to the Bank of Ireland and the AIB Bank every year, their annual. Well, the Bank of Ireland, they call it the court. I ask, where is your, you know, on a checkbook on your left-hand side is the sovereign seal. And I ask them every year, show me your licence, you have to trade. They cannot show me the licence because they don't have it.
But all they need nowadays, Billy, is the regulators.
He doesn't have a licence either.
But everything is regulated. Once you have this famous regulator and directors from Europe is all you need nowadays, it looks like.
And you know, and you go to the courts and you see the sovereign seal up in the court and you ask the judges, where are you getting your sovereignty for? Article 4, the name of the state is there. Article 5, Ireland's a sovereign, independent, democratic state. Where are you getting your sovereignty from? And you find out they don't have it. And this has to stop, this lies and deception all the time.
Yeah.
And they have to tell Europe, come on, they're having these laws. Dáil Éireann has never ratified the EEC accession treaty or the EU accession treaty.
Have you got many members now, many involved in the Irish Republican Brotherhood?
It went down there, it was very low level there, and especially the sort of the civil war caused a lot of problems of, you know, the unrest and that. But in the last 2 years, last week alone, I don't have any broadband in Kappa, so I can't see. There's a website, it's billymaguire.com if anybody wants to go in to see it. And we had, I was told last week alone, in, you know, when I went to, and the chairman of Harry O'Reilly, we went to Dublin Castle for that Orly 1916, we had over 3,000 hits, and we have a million hits in America, and we have at least 3,000 applications of young people to wanted to join. And I asked Jimmy Deanahan, you know, you ask any of our politicians when and where was the state founded? They can't tell you, and that's a scandal. It was founded in Vaughan's Hotel between 1916 and 1919, under the 32 county election of 1918. And ratified on the 21st of January 1919 in the Cabinet Room and in the Mansion House. And, you know, there isn't even a plaque up in the Mansion House to say this is where the Sovereign Republic of Ireland, that's where they are. There was no other state founded in Ireland, only by the Irish Republican Brotherhood. The Oireachtas, we have the Royal Dáil and Senate Oireachtas imposed in 1922 in the Shelburne Hotel by King George V. That is not correct. And ours is, we had our in Hayes's Hotel, which is unfortunately where the GA was founded.
Yeah.
It's in receivership. And we had our 155 sovereign Dáil Éireann and sovereign Dáil Éireann courts and the sovereign Senate Éireann. And the Royal is without the era. That's the point. And that was imposed, the Royal Dáil in 1922, as a sham provisional government. That's all we have. And I wrote to Martin Schulz, in he's the president of the European Parliament, and asked him, can a provisional government sit at the table in Europe? I'm waiting for his reply, because General de Gaulle said, you have to have a sovereign government to sit at the table in Europe. And since 1922, we only have a provisional government. And that is not capable or allowed to sit at the table in Europe. It would be interesting to see what his reply will be to that. And all this thing about gloom and doom and money, and to see all our young people, at least the Irish Republican Brother had that education, at least people are going educated today. And you're only for the website, the Irish Republican Brother, we'd have been wiped out. But there's a lot of young people out there going into this all the time. I mean, Friends of Irish Freedom told me in America that we have at least a million hits on that billymaguire.com, and we discuss, you know, and they're very supportive to us and very supportive for St. Patrick's Day, which is our biggest day. And the GAA was one of the greatest organisations ever, and I'd like to see it back doing that again, rather than just money, a corporate body. And a
how is it there isn't any? How is it there isn't any move by the GA of maybe buying the Hayes's Hotel in?
They were asked. I can tell you, Pat. They were asked to do it, and they turned it down because I spoke to Jerry, the manager there. We were there, our 155 sovereign Oireachtas, on the 12th of October, and I asked Jimmy Deanahan last week, and I've been asking because he's the chairman of 2016, to purchase. Not only Hayes's Hotel, but the Vaughan's Hotel, where the state was founded between 1916 and 1919. No, it's a scandal to think that a politician doesn't know when you ask them when and where was the state founded. They talk about the state, whether it's the Free State. We have five constitutions in the state. We have the Sovereign Constitution, which is the only legal, valid and bona fides one, under the 32-county election of 1918, written in Vaughan's Hotel. And Pierce Beasley, that toglucked the paper. 80,000 copies a week distributed by Cumann na mBan and na Fianna. And then you have the Free State Constitution. Then you have De Valera's 37 Constitution, but that's only under a 26-county election. The British wouldn't allow him a 32-county election, so he couldn't change it. And then you have the British Constitution, and then you have the European Constitution. So, which is the... When you go to court, you don't even know what constitution. And Mary McAleese, when she addressed the Queen in Dublin Castle, she said that she thanked the Queen for English common law. She said that's what the courts are under, English common law. So we have no allegiance to English common law. We want to run our own country, and we want the state run for the citizens of the state who are sovereign.
But Billy, we are not running our own country. We have passed it over to the Europeans, the Germans, it seems, to dictate and directives. And we've
telling us what to do, what we can do. And we keep on saying to them, how can you tell us to do that? We never even joined it. General de Gaulle made it clear that we could not be a member of the European Parliament until we had a sovereign government. And that's the sovereign government we had on the 21st of January 1919.
Yeah. Would one get the impression sometimes that this EU thing is really jobs for the buyers?
It is. There's no question about it.
Because we've been told many lies over the years. And I'd have to say lies. Maybe you're not supposed to use the word lie.
Well, I use it because that's all people understand today.
Yeah.
That's what they've been told.
Because what would you call that? When many people said like that you'd have a European army and that you'd get swamped in because you're only a small little country inside in a big pond. And we were told time and time again we would have the veto. We always had this veto, so they said you'll always have the veto. You have that vote that you can hold up anything. And then a few years back, as you know, they did away with the veto, did away completely. So that's very, very wrong.
Pat, we have the largest territory, I'm told, in Europe. We have, look at all the fishing we have.
Yeah.
Every year in the Mansion House, we claim all our territory, right as far as America, you could say. You know, they are our neighbours. And we have, look, all this oil and gas. We've all this fishing, and we're not allowed to benefit.
So we've given it all away, literally.
Well, we haven't given anything away. It's just that people have corruptly taken it away from us.
Well, the Irish government have just given it away.
They're only a provisional government. They don't have the right to do anything.
But they're the people who are elected by the people, and they're making the decisions.
They have a mandate. They claim we have a mandate to do it. But you can't look the sovereign constitution and the proclamation are the foundation documents of the state. When you read those, you can't do what you're doing. Only a sovereign government has the right to.
But how are they able to do it then? If what you're saying is right, they're doing it on a regular basis.
They're doing it. They're cutting the people is what they're doing. They're not telling the people the truth. And
well, many people, of course, would agree with you that they believe that the politicians are cutting the people for many a year anyway on many matters.
Mandate. I mean, if you have one mandate, but you can't ignore the proclamation. And you have to read that, and that's our sovereignty. And only a sovereign government has the right to issue licenses, collect taxes, make appointments, and appoint a judiciary under the sovereign seal at all Éireann. And those sovereign seals are owned by the Irish Republican Brotherhood. As we just mentioned, the tricolour is and the harps and the proclamation and the Easter lilies and shamrocks.
Now, we'll go for another bit of music and... Just take a note of it on the time, right? You put in whatever, something traditional.
Yeah, but what time is it open
there? Oh, and that, 48, 49, 49. 49.
Can you
can you not get any more leashes?
When the lads come back there after lunch, they can put it in.
There's a Harper's.
Or they can put in something else, yeah. 49 on that one. Now, Billy, you were, I've heard you speaking about the harp and the number of strings in the harp. For the, our listeners now who wouldn't understand or maybe follow it, can you explain the harp, how it came about and why it is the shape it is and why it has the number of strings it has got?
I can indeed.
And
I,
does Guinness have the same amount of strings as the official?
They got it, I believe, illegally. They gave some money to the provincial government at the time and they were allowed to use it. But I mean, the harp is the covenant between God and man with all the information knowledge for his planet Earth and our civilization. Everything on that harp. If you look at it, and I'll explain it to you, the top of it, of the harp, is...
Remember now, it's radio listening, okay? So, yeah.
Everyone knows, you take a coin out of your pocket, and you take the coin out of your pocket, and you put that up to the mirror, and you see the harp of the psaltery, and there's 14 strings that Ernest Blyth put on the money. And everybody has that.
The harp and the psaltery. The psaltery is...
The Book of Psalms is the psaltery.
You referred to it earlier, yeah?
Our sovereign seal is the psaltery. It's Anno Domini 2013. It has the two images from wrong to right, evil to good. And when you take the coin with 14 strings, or take the sovereign seal at all there and put it up to the mirror, you see the harp of the psaltery. The top of that is the blueprint for the curragh and how you build the curragh. And you take the strings, they become the lats. And you see the curved side, that is the keel of the ship for the Atlantic Ocean, so you know how to build your curragh. And if you want the wheel, take the wheel. You see the curved side again, that's the fellows of the wheel. The strings become, they become the spokes. And you see the eye down at the very end of it, the little notch, that becomes the hub of the wheel. So that's how the wheel was invented by mankind, so man can travel the world. Everything you want to know, those strings then, are the abacus, how men learn to count. You take the first string, it's your measuring tape, your plumb line, your straight edge. Everything is on that, the pendulum. How men learn to weave, he put the two harps together and the strings. The grid and the graph, how Copernicus and Galileo, he treaded the eye with the string and he followed the sunship round. The top of it is the sunship carrying the sun. And they didn't know where the sun went to at night. They thought the world was circular and flat. But he, in his mind, he had the sun sitting up there, and he turned it, and he went right around the arc of the sky, which is the circular again from the front of the harp. And he followed the sun ship, so it went right to the very top. So he called that south, because that's where the sun was at the highest. He went down to the west and underneath, so it always came up again in the east. So he had north, south, east and west. That's how it was achieved. And if you go to Lochgar, which is a wonderful place, the old stone circle there, and you see the Clochan-Clarsic, the harp stone where the harp sits on, and the Rana Cran Dubh, which is the string down it, which is the first string, is the Om alphabet. It's the first structured language of mankind. That's where you use your boulters and fodders. And the second is hieroglyphics, and that's how Tutankhamun, and the two fingers sign, that's Tutankhamun's, that's his sovereign seal. And you could keep talking about that and how you look at it and the reflection from it and how the sun, it's not the sun that grows all our biomass, it is the reflection of the sun rays. And then the moonship, which is the other side which we talked about, that controls all the cycles of life and all the tides. And that's what stabilizes the planet Earth. And these mathematicians, these wonderful mathematicians, you know, going back to Copernicus and Galileo and all that, that's what they used. All Rome was built with that harp. You can't build a cathedral without a measuring tape. That's your measuring tape, your plumb line, and all the alignments. You see, we only had, look at the sun box and the sound box, which is on it. And that's how Newgrange is constructed. If you go to, we only had a winter, we had a 6 months calendar, a winter and summer solstice. But for Rome, and the most important day in Rome is Easter Sunday. How can you have a divulge which is Easter Sunday when you don't, when you only have a 6 months calendar? And that's what they were working on, the mathematics of that. So Easter Sunday is when, if you go to Terminini in Rome, and that eye, you'll see the eye, the same as New Grange on the winter and summer solstice, where the sun runs along the church floor, and that determines Easter Sunday for the whole world. That's the mathematics of it, and that comes from the harp.
Thank you, Billy. Very informative, very knowledgeable. Well, tell me, how did you work? Where did you...
I've always had that. One of us in each generation, we can go back. Yeah. I was 3 years of age, I was able to do
it. But you must have been studying it, or where did you learn all that information from?
Our family have it. Every
family day. Down along the line, is it? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thousands of years, we hold it. Celtic people,
as the man says, it was bred into you.
Yeah, the Celtic people, And that's why we never desecrate our harp. And that's how the Hebrew people, they lost it. They took it to war. The Ark of the Covenant, yeah. The box is where it fits in. And they dug up Tara looking for that.
Now, in the case of the flag is supposed to come down at night time, I understand, isn't it?
That is correct.
The tricolour flag, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a new thing coming out now, and they took it to America to bring back the light from President Kennedy's.
Yeah.
And they put, this gold edge around the flag, which is an extra colour. You don't do that with the tricolour. The tricolour is three colours, green, white and orange.
Yeah.
And this thing of putting another colour on it or putting something on it, the only symbol that's allowed on the tricolour is the sovereign seal, and that's on the 21st of January in the Cabinet Room in the Mansion House. If you went to that BillyMaguire.com, you'll see the ceremony and you can see it. It's God, I think, you know. You talk about
And on... The Mansion House on the 21st of
January.
Who do you get permission from to use the room in the Mansion House?
Because they're only allowing 20 people into the Mansion House, which is an absolute scandal.
Yeah.
Think of where the state was founded, the Sovereign Republic of Era, and was ratified under the 32 County Lecture of 1918, where they all sat at the cabinet table in the dining
room.
In that room. And then the round room is just off that room.
Yeah, because Kevin Barry, I was talking to him one night lately, and he told me, again, he was at it this year, or the current year, yeah, and there was only 20 allowed, a lot of the people couldn't get in. And why is that?
Because the provincial government do not want to know that that's where the state was founded. They're going on with this thing all the time. I keep on ask any politician when and where was the state founded. They might say, oh, the state, but they never tell you what the state is. Is it the Free State or is it the Sovereign Republic of Ireland? There was no other state founded, only by the Irish Republican Brotherhood between 1916 and 1919.
Billy, we could go on for another night.
Of course we could.
And go on. Our time has...
We didn't get any distance at all in anything.
Our time has caught us, believe it or not. We've had a one-hour programme. So I think you've been on Seamus or Sullivan, have you, in the past?
Seamus,
so
yes.
Seamus covers this type.
I had to get permission, Pat, to get on here for you today.
Seamus covers this.
It's been very enjoyable, and it's great. We have a great people. We have a sovereign people. And it's time that they stood up for themselves. If you don't sit up, you're going to be enslaved, and that's what we don't want.
Thank you, Billy. Wonderful having you. I'm delighted you were able to make it here today, and I hope our listeners will be a little bit wiser about the sovereign seal and the harp and where our country came from. And I don't know that we inform you much as to where the country is going, but it's ahead of us anyhow. So until next Saturday, take care.